Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, May the 29th, 2026, 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Glenn Coble. Matt Morgan has taken his leave for a vacation. Glenn is going to guest co-host here for the next 2 hours. Glenn and I did this for a number of years on radio. So, good to be with you, Glenn.
Yeah, nice to be back.
Now, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What in the world were we talking about there? We had a caller on the line. We had Matt screaming and yelling about something.
I have no idea because we had four people talking
about it. It was terrible there for a second. I don't know how anybody understood anything. Oh, I think it was the governor's race.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. That, of course, you're not going to say how you're going to do something because you don't know how you're going to do it. But you're going to, I guess, say what's important to you?
When I was running for office, when people asked about policies and things like that, I knew I didn't know enough to tell them what my policies were going to be. But I told them I'm going to run a good government, I'm going to run an honest government, and I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone. That's really, especially at the local level, that's pretty much all you can do.
I think you're right. Now, interestingly enough, when we were doing shows like this, you brought it up during the break, so I want to bring it, because it's one of the weird kerfluffles that you and I did have over the years. We used to be located downtown Marion in the Ohio Health Building. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we were on the third floor.
Yeah, third floor.
You'd take the elevator up. And we were at the end of the third floor. And one morning I came in. Now, you had to have a key. We had a community restroom on you know what I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a community restroom on the floor. So every office had a key to the restroom. And I came in one morning because I did the morning show, like I still do, 8 to 10. And I came in, and one morning I looked over, and where the restroom key was supposed to be, it was gone. And so nobody can get in the restroom.
And immediately you blame me.
I blamed you because you had been there the day before. And to my knowledge, nobody else had been there the day before. And I said, where's the key? And you didn't know where the key was.
I didn't even know where it was when it was there.
Right, right. Well, and it's interesting because come to find out, somebody went to the restroom the night before, must have came in unannounced. And they put the key back on another hook in the office where nobody would have looked for it. But this led to me having a second key and hiding it in case that would happen again. So, you know, it was one of those false accusations, but it turned out okay.
It didn't bother me.
No, but you at the time were adamant that you did not.
Yeah, I wanted you to know that I didn't lose it.
Right, but I think that there was a possibility that you might have lost it.
Sure. You
just went right over it.
It doesn't bother me when people think that when I know they're wrong. You
know? But you weren't sure, if I remember right.
Because I might not have been.
You kind of were on the line. You said, well, I don't remember it, but I'm not sure.
Well, since I never used that key, I wouldn't have known.
No, but I thought somebody locked it in the cam, which would have been the true big problem.
That would have been bad.
Yeah, it would have been bad because now you got to wait for somebody else to open it up. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly enough, I was walking down the hallway here the other day, and I ran into somebody. And did you know there's all these new ways to rejuvenate yourself? You can get IVs with something in them to pep you up, and you can get Botox in your face and all kinds of good stuff.
Well,
here in Marion.
With all the medicines I'm taking for heart and cancer, I don't want to take anything else.
But isn't it interesting, though, the stuff that you can do now?
Yeah, I guess it is. I never did want to do that sort of stuff. People, a long time ago, we talked about having, because I was an actor, I wanted to have my face perfected, you know. So we talked about things like that, but I was always afraid of having a needle anywhere near me.
Well, I'm always, the tan thing is funny to me because we have a spray tan place right next to us here. And what's interesting to me is that people who have spray tans will, or go to the tanning bed, I guess, will deny that they do it. But you live in Ohio.
It's pretty obvious, too.
I think it's obvious.
Yeah.
But they will deny it till the end.
I don't know why they would deny it, but yeah, I would never spray tan myself, I don't think.
I'm not even really sure how it works.
I don't either.
I know you have to strip down, I would guess.
Oh, I don't like doing that.
Well, no, not in an office in this building.
Me. Just look at myself.
You know, I think you get behind a screen or something, and they... Does anybody know how this whole thing works? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But the whole tanning phenomenon, I think, is kind of fascinating.
Well, when I was young, it was very important, you know? You always... went out and suntanned out on the beach and stuff like that, and I didn't even realize I was probably killing my skin at the time.
Well, it does do a number on your skin, and that's why I think if these people are truly tan, that are tan all the time, their skin, it must be in horrible shape, or going to be in horrible shape.
Well, look at all the spots I have on my arms.
You think that's all tan?
I think it is, because my arms are always open to the sun, and I don't know.
I think it's why are we so obsessed with looking younger than we actually are?
That's another one of those things is as you get older, you aren't.
No.
It doesn't bother me that I would love to look like I was 28 again, but I can't pick those girls up because I'm married, so what good does it do?
Well, you know what's interesting to me is when people... say, how old do you think I look? I take 10 years off right away.
Oh, of course.
Whatever I think, I knock 10 years off, and I say, oh, well, you look...
So I look 70? Is
you
that
look
right?
Well, that's right. But, I mean, you have to, because they don't want to hear that they look their age, and no. They don't want to hear that they might look older than their age, so you have to go low.
Yeah. Now that I turned 80 2 days ago, and I've wanted to ask people, do you think I look 80? And I don't think I do. You could tell me whether I do or not, but my wife says I don't look 80, so who cares?
Well, no, and I'm not sure. What does 80 look like?
It looks all wrinkly. White.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all kinky white hair.
Well, you don't have that.
No, I don't have any much hair at all. I don't, and folded over. Yikes, I'm losing my head stuff here. I don't know what, it looks decrepit is to me.
I think of some people who are 80, and I think they look okay.
Yeah, I think it has to do with genetics, number one, and then it has to do with how you've brought yourself up. I have always exercised, and the one thing I can't do anymore is exercise like I used to. I used to walk at least 2.5 miles a day, and I can't do that anymore. My legs just won't do it. But I do walk my dog every day 5 times, so I do get some exercise. And that's all I can get is a little bit of exercise and positive attitude.
Hey, you know what? That's interesting because Stephen Colbert signed off a week ago.
It broke my heart.
You like Colbert?
Oh, I loved him.
Oh, so you know all about the Colbert questionnaire.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, you take the Colbert. I like to do this.
That's
now.
Kind of fun.
It is fun. Yeah. Now, by the way, if you're not a fan of Stephen Colbert, in 2019, Keanu Reeves was guesting on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and he was asked, what do you think happens when we die? After taking a beat, Reeves delivered a very thoughtful response. I know that the ones who love us will miss us. The exchange went viral, and Colbert got thinking about ways to regularly play with a more spontaneous line of questioning. So that's how the Colbert questionnaire came about. It's 15 questions, and here we go.
Okay.
So let's do it. Okay. Glenn, what's your best sandwich?
Peanut butter and jelly.
See, I hate peanut butter.
Do you?
I do. I don't like peanut butter. No.
I don't like what it does to the roof of my mouth, but
I just don't like. It tastes funny to me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like it. What's the one?
Do you like peanuts?
Peanuts are okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I could have. Well, I can have my favorite candy bar is a Butterfinger, but to me that doesn't taste like peanut butter.
No, it doesn't, and it's bad for your teeth.
Yeah. Well, and I don't eat many candy bars anyway. what's the one thing that you should really throw out that you own?
Wow. I don't remember that being on the Colbert question.
Number two.
What should I throw out? I know what you, all the exercise equipment I have in my basement.
That's how you get rid of that.
Yeah.
What's the scariest animal?
Snakes.
Snakes. Apples or oranges?
Oranges.
Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
Maybe once or twice, but I don't remember it.
So you don't?
Oh yeah, Jimmy Durante. I asked for Jimmy Durante because Jimmy Durante was my grandfather's favorite comedian, and my group played on stage with Jimmy, and I did ask him if he'd sign some. I have no idea where it went.
Did he really have that big a nose?
Pretty big.
Pretty big nose, yeah. Pretty big honker.
Yeah.
What do you think happens when we die?
I think our, like Colbert said, our friends will miss us, and it'll go black.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Favorite action movie?
I like Star Wars.
Favorite smell?
My favorite smell is, we used to have a summer cottage up in northern Michigan, and when the rain came across the lake, that smell of the rain, I don't know what it is. Somebody told me it was the ozone that precedes that. I love that smell.
Least favorite smell?
Dog poop.
Okay. Exercise, worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
But you say no.
I say I can't do it anymore.
Well, you got all that exercise equipment in your basement you want to unload.
And I liked it back when I used it, but I only used it through my 30s, and I'm now 80.
But it's still down there.
Yeah, it's still down there.
Flat or sparkling? I guess that's wine or water.
Oh, wine. Okay, sparkling.
Most used app on your phone?
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't use my phone very much. So I guess probably the app that I go to find out the answers, geographical answers. I don't know what it's called. But
you get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Wow. I don't remember the names of songs. Come back to that one. I'm going to have to think on that.
What number am I thinking of?
7.
No. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Be the best person I can. That's 6.
6 words. Okay. Favorite song? Song you listen to for the rest of your life?
It's that one. A lady sings it, and what is it? Jeez, they're out in California.
They sang it in California?
No, she sings about being at the corner of. I can't remember the name of the song. I love the lyrics of this song, and I can't remember it. Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I'm bad.
No, what lady sings it?
I can't remember what her name
is. Well, give me like a hint. We can do like Password here. Maybe you can get it.
I can't even. Shoot. I wish I could even bring up a part of the lyric, and I can't.
Was she famous for any other thing?
Yeah, she's not unfamous. I don't know.
Okay, well, if it pops in your head, let us know in the next 2 hours. This was an interesting story. Like Kevin Hart was recently the subject of a roast. I don't know what network it aired on. But he's defending a controversial George Floyd joke that was made at the roast by Tony Hinchcliffe. And he's coming under a lot of fire for this because of the
Who's Tony Hinchcliffe?
He's a comedian.
Okay.
But he made a joke about George Floyd at the Kevin Hart roast, and people feel that that was a racist joke, and they're going after Kevin Hart saying, why are you not saying anything about this? Why are you not doing anything?
Well, if you say something about a joke that's inappropriate, all you're doing is re-emphasizing that joke and expanding the light on it. So if you keep your mouth shut, maybe people forget. I don't know.
Well, should he be defending it? I mean, I don't know that he can say what Tony Hinchcliffe is going to say, but what should his reaction be now? See, I would think he's kind of defensive about it. And I think the reaction should be, well, if I had it to do all over again, I probably would not have... I don't know. I don't think roasts should be shown on television. I really don't.
I enjoy them.
Yeah, but you know, things like this happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you're trying to go as far as you can go. You're trying to get your toes as close to the line as you can. And I don't think anybody really likes them who's a part of them. I don't think people really want to be roasted. I think they do it because it's a show. It's on television. Get some publicity. Mm-hmm. You know, Joan Rivers, they did a great documentary on her years ago. I think Piece of Work or something like that. And she was the subject of a Comedy Central roast. And you see her riding over to the event, and she's talking about how much she hates the idea of it. She said every joke's going to be old and plastic surgery, and that's what it's going to be.
Yep.
And she didn't want to do it, but she said the money was right, and that's why she was doing it. But she talked about how it hurt her feelings. She didn't like it.
You're only doing a roast for the people that are listening to it. You're not doing it for yourself.
Right. So why do that?
Because you're paid for it.
You're paid for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't think making a George Floyd joke is probably... Because George Floyd is dead.
Yeah.
And I think it's too soon.
I don't like making jokes about the deceased in any situation, you know. I don't even like hearing jokes about, you know, Lincoln getting shot. And there are a lot of them on the air right now. I don't know why they make fun of that. I saw a cartoon of Lincoln getting shot in the back. Why is that funny?
But I think Lincoln's been dead long enough.
Oh, yes.
Now
he has been dead long
enough. Where you can do that joke. Because there's a Lincoln joke that's you wouldn't have wanted to do after Lincoln was shot, but it's, you know, if a girl is loose, she's got a bad reputation. I like the joke of, let's say, Susie. You know, they used to call Susie Mrs. Lincoln because every guy took a shot at her in the balcony.
Jeez.
You know, now I think that's a funny joke, but...
You know, that's another thing that as you get older, you find jokes less and less funny because they're almost always making fun of somebody. And I don't like to make fun of people.
Well, but if you got a reputation...
Well, so what? Who decided that reputation? I don't...
Society.
Well, you decided it, and you...
No, I did not.
Well, somebody decided it and said this is what society says about you. If you're the person in the spotlight, you may not realize that society says that about you.
Okay, well, people have got to be more self-aware.
Yeah.
Because, okay, here's the thing. We talk about this on this show, marriage, a lot. And, okay, if you get married and divorced...
I'm an expert, by the way.
Well, here we go. You've been married 50 years.
57 years.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you get married once and you get divorced once, I'll allow that. Because everybody can get a mulligan. Everybody can marry the wrong person. I understand that. And you can get married a second time. But if you get divorced a second time, okay, now I've got to think maybe you're the problem. But I'll allow that. I'll say, okay, too bad. But if you get married a third time, now you're just asking, what do you like ministers? Do you like rings? I mean, what are we getting into at this point?
Well, I personally believe that when you're married, you're married forever, and that's what you agree to when you get married. And if you don't have the wherewithal to be able to go through the tough times, and believe me, there will be really tough times. If you don't have, if you're not good enough to get through those, don't get married. Live together. Do something else. My wife and I have gone through probably, I would say, a half a dozen times where one or the other of us thought, I'd really like to get out of this. But you live through two or three more days and things get better. And that's all it is. You have to get through it.
Well, why do you think people do get married two and three times? See, I mean, I don't...
Because they're lazy.
Well, see, that's a judgment.
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, see, you jumped on me for making judgments.
What judgment did I
do? You said I can't make a judgment on somebody who might be Mrs. Lincoln.
No, I said you shouldn't make jokes about it. I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't like making judgments either, but we all do it. I don't know. Where are we?
Well, I think that being married several times, I think, does say something about you. I'm not sure what it says, but I think it says something.
I'm not opposed to being able to have a divorce if you need one. I would much rather have a couple get a divorce than taking it out on the kids. Get a divorce and get away from it. I have a great friend locally. It lives on my block. And they didn't get married, but they, in essence, lived together. So now they're, I guess, divorced, even though they never were married. And the only person that hurt was the little guy, their little son. And the lady would not allow the ex-husband, which wasn't a husband, to see him because she had total say-so because they weren't married. And that was really rough for him, and I'm glad that she and he have gotten back so that now the little guy can see his dad and his mom.
I just don't think human beings are built to be with the same person forever.
I sometimes agree with you on that, and that's why I'm not so certain marriage is a good thing. Maybe just living together. But the thing that marriage does do is it forces you to get through those tough times, and if you get out on the other side, you say, that was stupid that I was so mad about that.
Yeah, but does it when you've been married three or four times?
Oh, after you've done it once or twice, you figure you can do it anytime you want to, so the marriage loses its meaning.
Right, which is what I think. I think once you're past the second marriage, I don't believe any marriage after that really means all that much.
Of course not, yeah.
I think it's just the person you're with. It's much like dating, yeah. And it'll last as long as it lasts. And yeah. I don't think it'll last forever because your record does not...
The only thing that holds you together at that point is money.
Exactly. And people do marry for money.
Absolutely.
They absolutely do. And I think the older you get, the more apt you are to marry for money or get in a relationship for money.
Security, if not money.
Which is not love.
No.
No, it's money.
What is love?
Oh,
boy.
What is love?
Wait a minute. We need to take a whole session.
We'll have to get a whole lot of people involved with this. Go ahead, Colin.
Oh, this conversation is just getting worse and worse.
No, it's not bad, is it? Go ahead.
Yes, it's worse. Okay, you've got the guy that's never been married, and Glenn, 56 years, is very commendable, so I'm not taking anything away from that at all. My in-laws would likely still be married, and they were pushing the 50-year mark before my father-in-law passed, and I think anyone this day and age, it's a testament that you can spend half a century with someone, for sure. So... kudos to you and the missus. Probably mostly to her for putting up with you for all those years.
Absolutely.
I had to guess.
Hey, where do you get all these smart callers?
Well, this is a smart station.
But I'm here to interject with that my significant other, who I refer to as my husband, we've been together for nearly two decades now. We have a son that will be 17 years old in
Doesn't
July.
Doesn't that make you common law?
No, okay. Ohio doesn't have common law marriage anymore. Yeah, they don't recognize common law. But,
okay.
I think that ended in the 80s.
Okay.
We are technically, I like to say we're more than married because all of our assets are owned jointly by two unmarried people, so our relationship technically can't be severed by a court. The only way our relationship can be severed is if we agree to sever it.
Yeah.
So we actually
have to sue somebody.
Well, we have to force a signature out of the other one, one way or another. I don't think gunpoint will work because I think that sends you off to the pokey.
Yeah.
So we're kind of stuck together. Now, here's the caveat, Spears. He was married once when he was 19 for a couple months, you know, knew her for 3 weeks and let's get married because we're young and 19 and dumb.
And he was horny.
And that lasted for all of a couple of months, I think. And then in his 20s, late 20s, he was married again for about 5 years, and they divorced. No children. I'm the mother of his only child, and we've been together 4 times longer than any of those relationships combined. So, where do I fit into your theory here, Spears?
Well, I think it sounds like, to me, that's what I've said, because I certainly am willing to say that a lot of people get married out of high school. A lot of people, the first time, I think it is a big deal to you, and it means something. And so I'm always willing to overlook the first one if the first one does indeed end. And so that's fine. I'm married and divorced once. I have no problem with that at all. And if you get married a second time, I don't have a problem with that, because I guess there is the possibility that you could stumble on the right one. But if you get married and divorced a second time, I'm not saying the person is a bad person. I mean, I have friends who've been married and divorced 1, 2, 3, 4 times. But I'm saying after the second divorce, you do have to say to yourself, okay, what am I doing wrong here? Because I cannot say that both of these people were the problem. I got to take some responsibility here and say that I have a problem, or that I'm rushing into marriage a little too quick here. And
that could be a good possibility. So that's what it is I'm making him wait to make sure that he's sure that I'm the one.
Right. But now,
I admit to being wife number three.
But the question would be, you say you've been together quite a long time now. Why? Why have you not gotten married?
Why get married?
Right, but obviously,
I mean,
it's happened before.
At this point, it is just a piece of paper
and
a ceremony.
I agree with her.
See,
yeah.
That's my point, though. Once you do it the third time, then I'm looking at you and I'm going, now wait a second. Now you've done this once, out. Twice, out. 3 times, you know, it's like baseball. 3 strikes and you're out.
He's made more of a commitment with me than he did any of those other women. We had a child together. We owned things together. None of that with any of them.
It sounds like it's the real deal to me.
Well, and it could be.
Yeah.
It could be. And listen, there are always exceptions to the rule.
Just because you don't call it a marriage doesn't mean you're not married.
Well, I do consider it a marriage.
Yeah.
I do consider him my spouse. It's just the government doesn't consider him my spouse.
The only trouble is sometimes when you're, like my friend who I was talking about a few minutes ago, I don't know how to refer to his son, who is literally not his son legally, and it just kind of makes it a little uncomfortable to say, does your wife have your boy?
Would be his stepson then, like a child he helped raise?
It's just
a
boy.
Or is it his child?
It's his child, but
that's his son then.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's hard to say, does your wife have your son when she's not his wife?
It's the boy with his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the
solution to that. It's the boy with his mom.
But not, yeah, but here's the thing I would say. And again, I don't think this is a bad thing. But I think if you've been through a marriage and a divorce, and then another relationship, clearly you're getting older. You're no longer probably in your 20s. I would hate to think that the marriage and divorce rate is going by that quickly. So you're probably...
I know some people, but yes, you're right.
Yeah,
hopefully with third and fourth marriage, or at least made it into your 40s, right?
30s, 40s. Okay, so at that point is what Glenn and I were just talking about was now it's more about security. Now it's about finances, and it's not so much about whatever reason you married those two other people. And I think that ultimately becomes the problem. I've told this story before, but it bears telling again. I know somebody who's been married and divorced 4 times, and they're not 50 years old yet.
Oof.
And I will tell you that there are live-in relationships in the midst of that for marriages. Now,
so they just like being paired up is what it sounds like.
Right. They cannot be alone.
Some people really do just like being paired up.
Right, but here's the thing. They got into a... Because after the fourth divorce, I really thought that was it. I thought, well, they're not going to do this again. and they were so at it. And plus, they were older at that point. They were into their 40s. And I thought, well, really, you've learned something now. Four? I mean, that's a lot. So, at the end of the fourth divorce, they got into another relationship. And when they did, I said to them, I said, what is it you like about this person? I mean, really, where are we going now? Because I felt it was going to end the same way. And literally, they said this. Now, they can claim they were joking, but what they said to me, they said, they pay for everything and they drive everywhere. Now...
Wow.
Yeah. Now, maybe that's a joke. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But you know what? The fact that you even said that, the fact that that's on your mind, and the fact that you didn't follow it up with anything else, that tells me why you've been married and divorced four times. And by the way, this is a nice person. I don't hate this person at all. I think they are a very kind person. But their idea of what marriage is and what a relationship is clearly all skewed. And we all can see it, who are their friends. Their parents could see it. Their parents used to make light of it. But they could not see it. They still can't see it.
One of the biggest joys I have of being married is I get to see my sons and daughter and my grandchildren love their grandmother. That is important
to
me.
That is. It is. I have an older child that I obviously did not raise with her father. I raised with what would be her stepfather, but my significant other, my husband now. We've been together for 20 years. She's not 25, so, you know, he's been with her most of her life. But raising a child with their parent from the time they're born through their entire life is different than raising a child some on your own or with a step-parent, or it's a different experience having a child by two different men. Raising my child with my son from birth to this point with the same person, and as you said, having, you know, the connections with, I now have a granddaughter, and having a grandpa that she loves, and, you know, having those generational connections, it does make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
A legacy, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Well, building a legacy.
Well, and on that note, I want to bring up these two points, because I think this is an important thing, because this is what people are dealing with. But I also know somebody else who's a friend who was married and divorced. Now, there were some, in this particular person's life, I'll say there were some extenuating circumstances of why they were married and divorced twice. But they were, by the time they were 40, And I believe on to the second marriage, certainly before they were or the third marriage, by the time they were 50. So here's the problem with that. I saw, and again, they might deny it, but they, I believe, were engaged before the second marriage was finalized. I mean, now they weren't living together anymore, and they were not together, but they were engaged before. And I remember the day they came in and said, I'm engaged. And I said, what?
How can you be engaged when you're not even divorced?
But I'll tell you this, and this person might not admit this, but when they told me and another person that they were engaged for the third time, they were not sure. But I said, you said yes, right? Yeah. Why'd you say yes? Now, okay, I have to look at that, and I'm not saying that the third marriage is bad, but I'm saying, you know, maybe you just like to be married. Maybe you can't say no.
I think afraid of being alone. I think people are afraid of being alone, especially as we age, because as we already discussed, the financial issues, I mean, it just gets more and more expensive as your income becomes smaller and smaller, and you hope to retire. you know, and
well, I also believe
in and who's going to take care of you and who's going to drive you to the doctor and, you know, all of those things.
You know,
help you up off the floor when you fall.
Well, see, but that's why I'm going to wait and get married when I'm 80, because I want to marry a nurse, a much younger nurse.
What part? This is something that's always bothered me. Maybe I was an oversexed person, but what part does sex have to do with it if you get married four different times? Is sex involved?
I don't know. Okay. It depends on who you talk to, I guess.
I guess so.
But you know what's interesting about that, and I'll bring up this point, is that, okay, if you, let's say your marriage is falling apart. Okay, let's say your second marriage is falling apart. You probably are not having a good relationship or a good feeling toward that person. So when somebody new comes in, it's all that, you know, what do they call it now? Love bombing. That's what the kids call it. It's all that somebody's paying attention to you.
For 3 months, it's great.
Right. But I think that 3 months.
It's funny that you said that. My aunt always used to say, give them a 90-day trial run, and if they make it past the first 90 days, extend their contract for another 90.
I love it.
Because there is some science behind we're all on our best behavior for the first 90 days, and then after that is when your guards start to come down and you really start showing who you truly are as a person.
Yeah, but truly, though, what if that person, let's go back to the other example, if that person is buying everything and that person's driving everywhere and that really is something you want in life, I mean, I bet you're willing to compromise in which you weren't willing to compromise with other people.
I'm sure.
And that compromise is not really you, and the problem with that is that can last years. I mean, I've read books where this can last 2 and 3 years, sometimes five.
It can last 57.
Right, it can last 57. Here you go. But one day the mask does drop. Listen, my grandparents got divorced after 50 years of marriage.
You're kidding.
50 years. And by the way, I never saw them with anybody else. I never saw them.
Enough of the way he breathed in the morning and the way she chewed her food. They're just sick to death of hearing each other's voices.
You know what I think? I think after 5 kids and 50 years and working together, when the kids were gone and they both had retired and they had to spend time around each other,
they couldn't stand it.
They realized they didn't need it anymore. But I will tell you this, what was interesting, because they lived a long time after that divorce, my grandmother, that was probably the happiest time of her life. She was more active. She had a friend group that she was with all the time. She liked to go places with people. She was an active woman. I think her time after marriage was much happier. I never heard her say anything about him. But he missed her.
I'm sure she still loved him as the father of her children and her grandchildren.
Well, she would go to holidays with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she would do that. And weddings, they would sit next to
each other. She'd just been done washing his drawers and cooking his dinner. She wasn't having it no more.
Well, she was tired of him. And you know what? By the way, people who are happily married, you wouldn't know the name anyway, but there was a couple that was married something like 70 years one time. And the husband died. And I ran into the wife, maybe it was enough time after he had died, like 6 or 7 months. And I said, because he had been ill at the end. And I said, I'm sorry to hear, you know, that such and such has passed away, your husband. And she said, well, thank you. And I said, well, do you think, because I was trying to be, you know, lighten the mood. I said, well, do you think maybe you'd ever be in another relationship? And she said, I don't want to take care of another old man. She was done. She did not want to take care of anybody anymore. She wanted to go out and do her life.
My great-grandmother she was married at 14 and had 6 children by the time she was 21. Her husband was 9 years older than her. We're talking like 1907, so, you know, pedophilia was legal and you could buy yourself a wife back then.
Yikes.
Her husband died when she was 22, and she was grateful, she told me, and she never, ever, ever had another man, boyfriend, anything, ever.
Well, that's,
she died when she was 87 years old.
I'll tell you what.
65 years, she never had another man.
No matter how much you, even if you've been married 70 years, no matter how much you care, if they become ill, you are expected, and especially if you have kids,
yes.
you're expected to take care of that person, yeah, and they look at you funny if you don't.
Yeah.
And I think as a person, that bothers you, and you resent that after a while if it goes on for years and years. Now, you don't leave them, but when it's over, you certainly don't want to do that again with the short amount of time you got left.
Yeah.
No. And it is very, very emotionally and physically taxing to take care of an ill loved one. I've helped take care of more than one ill loved one. And when the illness is prolonged, it does take a physical and mental and emotional toll on everyone, especially the person that's living in the home with them.
Well, you know,
caregiver burnout is very real.
Have you ever went to a funeral of a couple that's been married a long time? Now, they always talk about, you know, the wife or the husband goes soon after the spouse, and that does happen. But what they don't talk about, have you ever been to a funeral where a couple's been married a long time and you go in and the grandkids are all sad and the kids are all sad, but the spouse doesn't seem all that upset? They're coping with it much better.
Well, and quite often the spouse saw the pain that the other spouse was going through and was happy that they're done with it.
Well, and I think they were with them for a long time. They were with them for 100 years. You know, that's a... Forever's a long time.
My experience, I've seen both. I've seen the family member, the spouse that is relieved that their loved one is no longer suffering, and then I've seen the spouses that wish they could crawl inside the casket and go with the person.
Yeah.
So I've seen both, unfortunately.
But now see, but here's the big question in this whole thing where we started about how many marriages can you have and so on and so forth. Okay, now...
Zero. Okay. Zero is the number.
Zero is the number. But, mm-hmm. Okay, now, did you love those first two or three people you married? Or did you
probably
not?
Probably in a way, but not in a mature enough way to make it last forever.
So love is not forever.
Well, what is love?
Exactly.
Well, it's like my high school boyfriend. You know, I mean, I haven't seen him in 25 years, but he'll always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, there'll always be some, your first love. I mean, I'll always have a love for him, but I don't care to look him up and spend the rest of my life with him.
My wife,
I don't have that level of mature commitment.
My wife still hates the name Mary. That was
who was Mary?
I guess that was your first love?
My high school girlfriend.
Oh, so...
See?
But do you speak well of her?
Yes.
Is Mary still with us?
Yes, she's a lawyer, and she's done very well for
herself. God bless her.
But I would say that Mrs. Coble is... she's probably pretty secure in her spot
as
the number one.
She is.
After 56 years, I'd say she's
actually,
the reigning queen.
She and I have gotten closer in the last 10 or 15 years than we had been before. We went through a time, 40, 50... where things were, well, I was never home because I was always on the road with basketball and football teams. But we've gotten to the point now where it's a lot better.
Did you ever hear, this reminds me, these stories remind, did you ever hear the Dan Rather story, which is a true story? He had gotten the job as the anchor of the evening news on CBS, and he was number one, and he said his ego was really getting out of control, and he said he could always count on his wife to put his ego back into place.
Yeah.
So he said he came home one night, and his wife said, listen, Dan, your ego, if we're going to have to take the roof off this building to get your head in if it gets any bigger. So let's take a trip back home to Texas to visit my family. So they go back down to Texas, the whole family does, and Dan and his wife and the two kids are driving, and they open up, they're driving down this dirt road to visit her family, and they see this new convenience store has opened. So Dan says, why don't we stop in and get some sodas and head on down the road. So the wife gets out, goes inside to get the soda, and he said 10 minutes passes, she doesn't come out. 20 minutes passes, she doesn't come out. In about 30 minutes, she comes out with four sodas. And he says to her, does it take 30 minutes to get four sodas? And she said, oh, Dan, actually, the man who owns this is in there, and it was my old high school boyfriend, you know, Preston Smith. And it kind of angered Dan Rather, and because they were catching up. So they go on down the road, and because he has a big ego, he turned to her down the road and he said, honey, you know, if you would have played your cards right, a few different choices here or there, you could be running this convenience store with old Preston Smith there. And she goes, no, Dan, you don't understand. If I would have married Preston Smith, he would be the anchor of the CBS Evening News. And I thought, that's somebody who keeps somebody in line.
Yeah.
That would be something to live with someone that is that famous, and you're just trying to be an average person to maintain that well, level of normalcy, I suppose.
When I was younger, I know this doesn't sound very nice, but I was fairly famous, and my wife's had real struggles with dealing with all the people that wanted to meet with me, and she actually at one point told me, "Don't you ever get tired of talking to everybody but me?" And then I realized, I was missing the boat here.
Well, yeah. Well, see, that's a problem, because if you're somebody who likes to talk to people,
and I do.
They do. Well, the spouse sometimes does not
she
like
hates
that.
It. Yeah, my wife hates
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like
My husband is my best friend. We choose each other first, and he'll be the person that I talk to. He's my secret keeper, and I would 95% of my conversations I would choose to have with, well, 85% of my conversations I would choose to have with him.
But
I will tell you, to not listen to him snore at night, I would consider some things.
I found a way. The husband has to go sleep on the couch upright with his upper body upright, and then you don't snore as much.
Oh, is that it?
And my wife and I love each other.
It'll probably take me another 20 years to convince him to do that. What's the matter?
Get him upright. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, see? It's like the old days, Glenn.
It is.
See, this is just how it has always been. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We've only got about a minute left this hour, but Glenn's going to stick around and be here for the next hour. Matt is gone for the day. By the way, we will be on tonight. I'll be on. We have a good guest tonight, I think. 8:15 to 10 p.m. on the station, and Matt taped a show, so his show, a new show, will air tonight, 10:15 to 11. Don't miss that here on WGH Talk. It's always an interesting conversation. I still don't have to stick to two marriages, two divorces. Probably not a good idea for a third.
I agree.
I just look at you funny when you get married a third time.
I don't
but
know.
Now, but both people haven't been married three times.
I would never have gotten married a second time if we had broken up.
And there you go. We're coming back. Stay tuned.
Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you... How